Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
There is a little girl named Trudy Appleby who would be 40 years old today. She was last seen leaving her home in Moline on August 21st, 1996. She was last seen around 9:30 in the morning with a white male in his 20s in a gray box-style car similar to a Chevy Cavalier. She had asked to go swimming with a friend. Her dad said no. Phone records indicate she may have gone ahead with those plans. Mm. She was never seen again. Mm. They have never recovered her. Today, there was an arrest. 29 years after the fact, an arrest has been made in Trudy Appleby's disappearance. It comes just a week before the 29-year mark when the 11-year-old was last seen in Moline. He is 50-year-old Jameson Albert Fisher from East Moline. So he would have been...
He would have been 21.
21. It's been 10,584 days, according to the police department. That is the time it has taken to stand before you today and say what we have long hoped we could say. We have made an arrest in the murder of Trudy Appleby. Grand jury indicted him on Wednesday, yesterday.
What evidence do they have?
They don't say.
It's going to be hard to prove this without a body.
Well, he was named a person of interest in 2020. He was a family friend and an associate of another suspect who died back in 2014. Mm. He's in jail on unrelated charges and will remain there. And they did acknowledge that, Scott, that there is no body, but they feel confident that they will be successful in at least putting him away for the rest of his life.
Who was the killer that Paul Morrison, the Johnson County DA, was Grisham. Able to convict? David Grisham.
Yeah. No.
What was his first name? Was
Richard.
Richard Grisham. That's right. And he was accused of killing three women whose bodies were never found.
Never found them. So it can be done.
Yeah.
We would all just hope that they're able to somehow bring her remains home to the mm-hmm. family. My guess is that's probably not something that's going to happen. So anyway, you can run, you can't hide. And I'd love to know, was this ancestry? Was this DNA? Like, how did it finally come to pass that they got mm-hmm. him? But they did.
The wait is over for Chiefs Kingdom. The Kingdom debuted today on ESPN. It is a six-part docuseries that follows the 2024 Chiefs and their quest for a Super Bowl three-peat, while also highlighting the history of football in Kansas City. Oh. Even though the season did not end the way that Red Kingdom had hoped, it was still an outstanding run. Super Bowl wins, Taylor Swift, now a full-length docuseries, all in the name of the Chiefs. The first two episodes debut today and tomorrow.
Okay. Spoiler alert, we lost.
Episodes right. 3 through 6 will air the week of August 18th, so next week. Mm. Thrash metal superstars Megadeth have just announced the band's final album and final tour. After more than 40 years, Megadeth came from Dave Mustaine after he was kicked out of Metallica. Rocky the Mountain Lion roared back at the Denver Nuggets. The man behind the suit, Drake Solomon, he's the mascot for the Denver Nuggets. He is seeking unspecified damages from Kroenke Sports and Entertainment, which owns the Nuggets, for an alleged violation of disability protection laws. The Colorado Sun reports this week that Solomon was diagnosed with a bone tissue condition during the 2022-23 season and was eventually forced to have multiple surgeries, including a hip replacement procedure during the following season. When Solomon told his superiors about the impending hip replacement, he claims the team decided to hold tryouts for the mascot gig due to his record of impairment and their lack of confidence in his health. He says he recovered quickly from the hip replacement and returned to work during the 2023-2024 season. Huh.
Josh Johnson recently, the comedian that I just absolutely love.
He is brilliant.
Brilliant. Did an entire stand-up on the hierarchy of the mascot. And, you know, obviously your professional mascots are going to be at the top tier. Your NCAA mascots are way up there if you're Jayhawk or Baby Jay, that kind of thing. And then he goes, then there's the Chuck E. Cheese. And he goes into this hilarious commentary about the Chuck E. Cheese that was arrested at a child's birthday party in his Chuck E. Cheese costume.
Right.
In Florida last week.
Yes.
It is hilarious. Go find it online.
They even put the mascot's head on top of the truck while they were arresting him.
They decapitated him.
And those kids will be in therapy for the rest of their lives.
Oh, yeah, they will. What is the worst mascot?
Chuck E. Cheese?
Well, I mean, it's up there. In sports.
Oh, well, are we going like high school too?
No, you can go college or pro. Any sport.
Well, I'll just throw out a high school one. We've mentioned it before on the program.
No, don't you disparage the Kewpie dolls.
Well, that was going to be the one.
I like the Kewpie dolls.
The Hickman Kewpies in Columbia, Missouri.
The right. Hickman Kewpies?
Kewpies. You know what a Kewpie is, right?
No.
That's a Kewpie doll.
It's a naked baby wearing a diaper.
The little naked baby with the belly?
Oh, like a Cupid.
Yeah. No. Look up a Kewpie doll. You know what it is. If you Google worst mascots, I agree with most
now,
of them.
Now, are we going with names or are we going with the mascot costume?
Both. One of them is Wooshock. I'm sorry to our Wichita friends. That crazy corn thing is on the list of worst.
Oh, the Threshers.
The Shocker guy.
Yeah.
The Philly Fanatic, which I don't even know what that green thing.
I love that thing.
What is he?
Yeah, nobody knows. And by nobody, I mean no one.
The Stanford tree?
No, it is not a tree.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the mascot. The mascot is technically a cardinal, but yes, they use a tree as the mascot, which is bizarre.
Wouldn't that make it the... What?
It's the Stanford Cardinal. That's their actual mascot.
Right. Okay. I got it.
But they use a tree for reasons unknown to man.
Okay, it's on the list. Choosing a mascot according to what your school's area is known for is understandable, but too often it results in something super lame. There's no better example than the Stanford tree. The Stanford tree is not intimidating. It's just odd.
That is true. And why aren't they the Cardinals? Why are they the Cardinal?
I don't know.
Delta State University is a fighting okra, and it's as unfortunate as it sounds.
Wow.
The Indiana Mad Ants. Okay, the Brewers mascot, Bernie Brewer.
Yeah, what is that?
It's just a guy with a big old mustache.
Nothing against our dear friends from Manhattan, because I think that the name Wildcats is
great.
Is a great name.
Yes, the cat on the head's body is jarring.
But it's a human body with just a big wildcat head on it.
It's jarring.
It's bad. Now, if you want me to make fun of Herbie the Husker, I'm happy to do that too.
Oh, please look up Evergreen State College right now.
Evergreen
State College's mascot is Speedy the Geoduck. And it looks like a green.
Okay, hang on before you say it. Oh, yeah, okay.
What is that, Scott?
Wait, now I got to see it.
It is.
Let me just read. Nothing about Speedy the Geoduck makes sense. Nothing. He is alarming to look at and all sorts of odd. In Evergreen State's defense, they pride themselves on bizarreness. At least they're self-aware.
So it looks like something that 50% of the population has wrapped in a green taco shell.
Like,
did we have to use that word?
No, it looks like, it looks like defecation if it was green and the shape of a pickle.
Also an option.
Are we looking at the same? This is the mascot I'm getting for Speedy the Geoduck.
Oh, no. This is what I'm looking at.
So the green one is the older version.
Did they update the reason I think they did?
Now it looks very phallic.
Okay. The older version looks like something.
It's the stuff of nightmares. We'll leave it at that.
Something from an excited male dog. but it's green.
University of North Carolina School of the Arts is a fighting pickle.
Xavier University
is
they're the
blue blob.
Oh yeah,
Xavier University, but aren't they like the Pirates or something?
Their mascot is a blue blob.
Huh.
In 2023, it was named the worst college mascot of the year.
Sammy the Banana Slug.
Saw that. Also odd.
The New Orleans Pelicans have the King Cake Baby.
Oh, it's so weird.
It is a giant fake baby with like legs of a man.
Oh, okay. From the text line, Scott, the cardinal that Stanford refers to is a color. It's not the bird.
Oh, cardinal is in red.
Got it.
I did not know.
I did not know that either. I always just assumed it was a singular bird for their mascot.
Cayenne?
Huh? Pepper?
Spice? Yeah.
Well, it would be spicy, scary.
Oh, you got to look up. This one's not in the United States.
Which one? Tell me.
The Chiba Lotte Mariners, or maybe it is in the United States.
The Chiba Mariners.
Somebody says
our mysterious fish.
Somebody says that one college football player whose name I'm not going to say on the radio.
Noah.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true or not, is now selling merchandise with just his last name on the front of the hat.
Hell yeah.
Why would you not capitalize on that? Other people are going to make fun of you anyway. You might as well make money while they're doing it.
Scottsdale Community College. Artie the Artichoke.
Oh, I like the Artichoke.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
So as many of you know, Taylor Swift broke the internet last night, appearing on her boyfriend Travis Kelce's podcast with his older brother Jason, New Heights. I believe it aired at, was it 7 o'clock our time? Or
6 p.m. our
6 time. 6 p.m. our time, 7 Eastern, that's right. Showed the cover of her new record, listed the songs that are going to be on the new record, talked about a number of things. I believe the podcast lasted a total of 2 hours. But one thing she also got into was about the mostly male football fans who complain that she's on TV too much.
Yeah, that she has no control over, by the way.
So here's an op-ed from the USA Today. That's a great point, Dana. She has no control over how many times she is shown on TV. The networks or the NFL do that because they know it gets attention and people like her. USA Today op-ed here says,
I think we all know that if there's one thing that male sports fans want to see in their spaces and on their screens, it's more of me.
Okay. Very funny. They write in the USA Today, say a prayer for the dads, Brads, and Chads. Taylor Swift invaded their space again last night, diverting attention away from such important discussions as third-string left tackles and whether that player they'd never even heard of before last month will play in this week's preseason game. Not only did Swift not apologize for it, she was unabashed in how little she cares what the dads, Brads, and Chads think. She lives rent-free in these guys' heads, and they'll never even know her address, said Swift on the New Heights podcast last night. You should think of your energy as if it's expensive, as if it's a luxury item. Not everyone can afford it. Not everyone has invested in you in order to be able to have the capital for you to care. What you spend your energy on, that's the day. It doesn't matter where you were. Maybe you went off to get coffee today. Maybe you saw friends today. If you were obsessing over one thing that you saw, you literally saw some guy call you mid, I don't know what that means, and you can't stop thinking about it. Dude, that's the day. That's the night.
Call you mid?
Yeah.
Not very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the writer goes on to point out, and I think this is a fair point, because when she was featured, and she'll be featured again on TV this upcoming fall, every time she's at one of the Chiefs games, it just happens. And in the beginning, I thought it was a little over the top. It didn't bother me necessarily. I thought, you know, that's kind of sweet that, you know, the world's most famous recording artist, is supporting her boyfriend. And I thought it was a little over the top in the beginning, but it doesn't bother me.
No, the first two games were insane because it was like
Right. Every
single time Travis Kelce did something, they showed Taylor Swift.
Did you also see
That's
at one
ridiculous.
Point, Sam, they showed her and she kind of went like this. And yeah. You could say that she mouthed, I think it was to Donna Kelce at the time, please stop. Like, stop showing me. She doesn't want that to be
that,
about
it
her.
It was very reasonable. It was like once or twice a game. That's not, but
yeah,
but it was every time I was like, come on, guys.
But listen to this point that the author of this op-ed goes on to make. It is no different than the time or 20 that Spike Lee is shown at a New York Knicks sideline.
Absolutely.
Or Eminem ending up on the Jumbotron and the playlist as he always does when he is cheering on his beloved Detroit Lions. For famous men, their fandom is something to be appreciated and respected.
How many times did you see Jack Nicholson in the front row?
At the Lakers games?
At the Lakers
All
games.
All the time.
All right. Have you seen the viral video of a delivery driver turned porch pirate in Wichita? Have you talked to your brother about this?
No. My sister-in-law just had nasal surgery yesterday. This was not the topic of conversation.
How dumb are you that you go to deliver food as a DoorDash driver? So there's an imprint of you being at this house as a driver.
They have your name.
And then while you're there, she drops the food off.
Your picture.
Picks up the Amazon package that's there that someone else delivered earlier. And then runs with the package.
She turned herself into a porch pirate.
Yeah, she is a special flower. Another porch pirate caught on camera, only this time it was supposed to be a DoorDash delivery. Kimberly Calloway shared home surveillance video of the theft in the Porch Pirates of Sedgwick County Facebook group. Now the video has gone viral. In the video, you see a woman walk up to Calloway's home to make a delivery. A small package is also sitting on the porch. Shortly after leaving the food at the door, the woman looks around, bends over, snatches the package, and then runs.
What? Why? I don't understand porch piracy. Why would you take something not knowing what the contents are
inside? It's so stupid.
What if it's a hair product or...
99% of the time, it's going to be something completely worthless to you.
Maybe even worth $3 to $5.
I paid $16 the other day, Scott, for a gorgeous set of old-timey looking lace champagne-colored curtains for the new bathroom.
Oh, yeah, I saw those in the picture.
$16. Mm-hmm. And it came in sort of a flat envelope looking thing. So you probably walk by that and think, oh my gosh, is that something exciting? No, it's like the world's cheapest set of curtains. Knock yourself out.
I thought they looked lovely in your bathroom.
Thank you. If you're going to have something like of crazy value delivered to your house, I don't know that you would Amazon that, would you, Sam?
The most expensive thing that I have ordered to my home was my mattress. And it was a $2,600 mattress. I got it on sale for $1,000.
You Amazoned it?
What?
They delivered it to me.
Oh.
Who delivered it to you?
The mattress company.
Okay, so it wasn't on Amazon.
Well, it was a FedEx guy.
Huh.
But it sat outside my house for like an hour, and I would have loved to watch my Ring doorbell camera of somebody coming up and trying to steal that box.
Wait.
Oh, you got 140 pounds, buddy. Good luck.
You're burying the lead here, man.
What?
You had no one home, and the FedEx guy delivers a mattress to your front door.
Well, my driveway. He didn't take it up the stairs.
By himself?
Well, yeah, and then I carried it inside by myself.
That poor man.
Me, poor man.
Focus here. A woman whose own cell phone is going to tell everyone immediately who she is as a DoorDash driver.
Yes.
Drops food off and then steals something off the same porch. By the way, the homeowner came out and said, hey, where's my Amazon package? Woman's running. How dumb is that woman? I'm being serious.
She's not going to be applying for Mensa membership.
You might as well. Hello, there's a Ring doorbell camera that has her face on it, too. You literally have just told police, I am this person. Mm-hmm. Come and get me.
And if you have a Ring doorbell, I do, you know that they are not hidden.
No.
It's a small brown rectangular box on your front right by your doorknob. Now, my neighbors across the street, they have a camera up in the corner of their front porch. I don't know if that's another kind of Ring doorbell.
Yeah, or they sell other different kind of cameras.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, okay.
From the text line. What if that porch pirate grabbed the Cola Guard box?
I was just going to ask, Dana, because you're the only one on the show who's done Cola Guard.
Poop in a box. Once.
I understand. When you got your poop in a box,
yeah.
Does it come with the Cola Guard logo
no,
on the outside? It's very
no,
discreet.
It's nondescript. It's very discreet. You don't get the smiley face on the box, which, by the way, talk about mascots. My God. No, no one is smiling when they're doing that. Okay. You don't get the smiley box until you open the exterior
so
box.
So you could, unbeknownst to you, grab
oh, yeah.
Porch Pirate a Cola Guard box.
Correct.
Because it doesn't say anywhere on the outside, this is yes, a box
warning.
That the homeowner will be going to the restroom.
You're about to steal something that's a poop receptacle.
But then when you return it to the UPS or the FedEx or whatever to be shipped off.
Oh, then they know.
Then they know?
Oh, they know.
So it's discreet before you excrete, but not after.
It's a discreet excretion.
So wait. And I think you've told this story before. When you go to UPS.
Yes.
The box says Cola Guard
oh,
on it.
Oh, they know.
So they know exactly what you're handing them.
Yes. Just need to drop this off.
Did you have
here.
To stand in line?
They're like, is it valued over $100?
Not
I'm
a,
like,
not,
well.
Nope.
Last that's who you're talking to.
Last night's dinner was only 12 bucks.
Would you like to insure it, Nick?
No, we're good.
I'm good. Did you just not have this conversation at all.
Did you have to stand in line
yes.
behind and
yes.
in front of other people?
Mm-hmm.
With your box.
Yep.
The box was smiling. They were not.
Were you embarrassed?
Well, it's just so odd.
Awkward or odd?
Both.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to do Cola Guard just so I can go stand in line at FedEx or UPS.
Smile ear to ear. Just, you know what's in here?
Just hand it to the guy and go, here you go, buddy. Make sure it gets to the right place. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Boy, it was a rough ride to school this morning down in Texas. Did you see this? A school bus carrying more than 40 children and one adult, hopefully, on the first day of the new school year, rolled over onto its side in Austin, Texas, yesterday, leaving 12 people injured. The bus was carrying students from the Leander Independent School District in Northwest Austin. Officials say there were 42 children on the bus at the time of the rollover. And keep in mind, school buses, I believe, still do not have seatbelts.
They do not, and that's been a long, long, long discussion. But if they had seatbelts, they would be trapped if there were an emergency and you had to get them out. Railroad tracks, fire.
A rollover.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's an airline named Breeze Airways.
I saw
Breeze Airways. A drunk Breeze Airways passenger allegedly spewed racial slurs at staff, broke out of restraints twice, and aggressively waved a skateboard as he forced an emergency landing on board an LA-bound flight.
He's going bye-bye. Have you seen the video?
No, I have not seen the video.
You can see what I believe to be the flight attendant is saying, sir, sit down. Sir, sit down. Then he turns. He's got his skateboard right here and a very, very large, fit passenger stands up and puts a stop to what's going on real quick.
By large and fit, his head is only like, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches from the ceiling, and his shoulders are basically touching both.
I'm pretty sure he might have been a linebacker, and if he wasn't, he should be. Think like Creed Humphrey sized.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't see the story in the stack. I thought I put it in, but it's probably my fault. We had a story that I was hoping to bring to your attention today, and maybe it's in here somewhere, and I just can't find it. And it just reminded me of that when I read Racial Slur. And it's a story out of Los Angeles where the city council, especially during the fires that they had earlier this year, et cetera,
yep.
has passed. Here it is. I got it right here. As deadly wildfires raged across Southern California in January, a Los Angeles City Council lamented to the, or check that, a Los Angeles City official lamented to the City Council and others how they were forced to listen to hateful, vulgar language from some members of the public.
Like again and again. We talked about this a year ago when it first got into the news cycle.
He thanked the audience for their patience in listening to one man's tirade in which he yelled, "Burn, Palisades, burn," and then used the N-word to describe council members. It was far from an isolated incident. A small group of people have repeatedly showed up at city council meetings in Los Angeles, spewing the N-word and C-word while ranting about everything from the city's homeless crisis to mask wearing and the 2028 Olympics. Council members have finally had enough. In late July, they passed a motion banning the public from using those two words, the N-word and the C-word, during council meetings, despite warnings from First Amendment groups that the move could put the city on a slippery slope toward unconstitutional censorship. Already, the ban is being put to the test.
Yep.
Just 2 days after the council passed the new rule, a man used the N-word three times in less than 10 seconds during his 3 minutes of speaking time.
Now people are just doing it to get a rise out of the council because it's been in the news cycle.
Right.
So what's going to happen because they used horrifyingly offensive words, they're going to be kicked out and they know this, and then they are going to sue and this is going to end up in court. And I fear, Scott, the law is on the side of the bad guys on this one.
Well, I don't know about this because later in the story, and I believe this is from the USA Today. Yes, it is. They mention inherently harmful words and cite a U.S. Supreme Court 1944 or 42 decision, Chaplinsky versus New Hampshire. The ruling said that some terms, quote, by their very utterance, inflict injury or tend to incite an immediate breach of the peace.
Yes.
Such
fighting words are not protected. Now, I said this to Scott off the air at the end of the show yesterday because he was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about this topic. That I believe those words are inherently insightful. I really do.
But aren't there others that would be inherently insightful?
That's where the legal question comes in here. Are you going to put those two on the list? Well, what other words could be deemed insightful?
I mean, there are racial slurs for that you could, or slurs, shouldn't say racial necessarily, for Jewish people.
Yep.
For Muslim people.
Hispanic people.
Hispanic people. Asians.
Under the new rule, here's one of the problems. A speaker who uses the term will first receive a verbal warning.
Yeah.
If they use it again, the presiding officer will again tell them they cannot use the language. A third time, they are cut off and removed. And that man that did this the other day knows exactly that that's what's going to happen.
Well, he used the N-word three times in 10 seconds.
Yep, he wanted to be kicked out so that he can sue.
Now, I'm not for using slurs, obviously. I don't know why I feel the need to say that, but I do. But where do you draw the line?
That's
my line.
We're going
to start banning words because we don't like them. And I'm borrowing a very, very old phrase here. The First Amendment is to protect speech that we don't like, not speech that we like.
Right.
I don't disagree with you necessarily. And normally I would be on the side of, you know, I don't like it, but they have the right, right? But you're in a city council chamber. Okay, keep that in mind. The fact that this is a government facility is important because we cannot say those words on these airwaves, and these airwaves are owned by the government.
Yep.
KMBZ does not own the airwaves of which we broadcast. We lease these airwaves, this frequency.
Yes, that's right.
From
we lease air.
Government. That's right. We lease air. We lease a frequency on a radio spectrum. I'm not going to get into the science and all that behind it, but you understand. There's a reason we're on 98.1 and our friends next door.
Those words have led to fights.
I understand.
At this council meeting, Scott, twice where the sergeants at arms had to step in.
Probably deputies, I guess.
Yes.
But anyway, what I'm saying is there is plenty of history where the government has said you can't use those words in this forum, and it has been challenged, and the Supreme Court or lower courts have said the government can tell you that you can't use certain words in certain forums. If you were at a school board meeting or in a classroom at your kid's school, let's say they're having an assembly, and you started saying those words, you will be ushered out.
Yeah.
Listen to this. One Los Angeles City Council watcher said the meetings are Jerry Springer. It's turned into Jerry Springer. Quote, this is not a ban on offensive speech in general, nor does it limit the public's right to criticize, protest, or speak passionately. Instead, it draws a line at language that by consistent and documented use has disrupted the council's ability to conduct public business and discourage public participation.
So what's the next word?
I agree with you on that, Sam.
I mean, can I not say football because it makes soccer fans who don't believe it should be called soccer angry?
No,
I mean, I know that's obviously a very benign example, but that's the point that I'm trying to make.
But you know as well as I mean, if we're going to take a serious look at this, there are certain slurs that are so inherently offensive to certain people, the people in that class. I mean, there's another F word that is either three or six letters long that was very commonly used in the 80s.
It means a cigarette in a certain country and a bundle of sticks in another.
If I said it into this microphone right now, I would be fired.
Yeah.
One neighborhood council has an unusually small attendance from the public at our meetings. And, quote, we know that the major reason is how difficult it is to sit through meetings where so many vulgar and nasty public comments are made.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798, if you'd like to weigh in on Dana and Parks. One of those rare moments when a remake is better than the original. This is Disturbed's version, and it is amazing.
If you have a moment when you get home, look up the vocals only
of the Disturbed version of this.
It is haunting.
Man, it's so good. Anna in North Kansas City. Anna, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, who determines exactly what incites a riot? Because, you know, get a room full of overweight people like myself and say F fat A or fatty, that could incite, you know, distress, as well as, you know, old geezer or things like that with somebody's older. So, I mean, I think it's a very, very slippery slope of taking away someone's rights and being the dictator who says these things.
We're going to find out. I'll tell you that, Anna, because these idiots that are spewing hate at the meetings are doing so now on purpose so that it will be for. In fact, one of them even said, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time this is all said and done.
Well, and they're probably trying to make a point. I'm torn on this one. Because, you know, to Sam's argument earlier, where do you draw the line? And why is it just these two words? If we're going to put a collective of bad words, let me rephrase that, words that are deemed to be hateful, hate words, which are not protected according to the U.S. Supreme Court 1942 decision, there's a longer list than just those two words. I'm sure, you know, I understand the N-word is ridiculously offensive.
Yeah.
Okay? And is used only, well, not only, but many times as intended to incite someone or demonstrate your hate for them because of the color of their skin. But then there are some slurs that you would use to describe Asian people that have to be included on that list, and Jewish people that would have to be included on that list. And I can name your ethnicity or religion, and I can give you, I wouldn't do it on the air, but I could give you words that people might say that would clearly be considered a hateful slur.
To describe any subsect of people. I mean, it doesn't have to be country-specific anything.
Right. And so, but where do you draw the line? And now that they have drawn this line, people are upset. They feel like their rights are being infringed upon, and they're setting out to prove a point.
Yeah.
Now, there is one that we can say, at least until the AI overlords and the robots take over. And I've heard it quite a lot lately, and I kind of love it.
Be careful, please.
Clanker.
Oh, clanker.
What's that?
What's a clanker?
It's the slang term for robots. They're clankers.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you think
I was going with that?
Well, I didn't know.
We didn't know.
I know better. Just trying to keep
the license here.
No, robots.
I mean, yesterday, when you say clanker, he was dropping words like gin pop. I thought that'd be clinker.
I forgot about that.
When you get in gin pop.
Yeah, in gin pop, you know, it can be pretty dangerous there in the prison there in gin pop.
Go ahead and drop one of those terms and see where you end up. Going to gin pop.
But anyway, I understand the point that they're trying to make. But... I don't know. If you're going to ban those two words, there's about 10 others I can think of just off the top of my head that would have to be banned as well.
And that's my only concern with it, is where do you draw the line?
Yeah, and who gets to police it?
Exactly.
You know? Whenever the government gets involved, it usually doesn't turn out well. And we'll end it with that. Celebrating birthdays today, Steve Martin is 80. Halle Berry is 59, and Magic Johnson is 66. I was telling Dana during the break, it was 34 years ago that Magic Johnson announced that he had HIV.
I still remember that news conference.
34 years ago.
At a time when it was thought that that diagnosis was a death sentence.
There were basketball players. Karl Malone would not play with Magic Johnson. He would not play on the court with Magic Johnson when he came back to play in the NBA All-Star game. It was basically the end of his career. We got to run. Sam Stevie, finest man in these United States. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. And God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.